Welcome back to season 4 of Libra Podcast, the season where we talk all about boundaries. My name is Ash.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Sarah.
And we are your hosts for today. Our episode today is a little different than anything we've covered so far, but we are super excited for it. So far this season, we have talked a lot about defining and setting our own boundaries and how to recognize boundaries that others may struggle with. Today, we want to take things on a little more global scale and talk about what it's like when every boundary is violated.
Over a year ago now, Russian forces directed by Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine, a smaller nation to their southwest. Here in the United States, and likely some other countries outside of the conflict, I think we tend to forget or not fully grasp the gravity of the situations evolving with our friends in Eastern Europe.
Just as a quick disclaimer, we are speaking from foreigners' points of view, and while trying to open up the real story from the people involved, we're not here to make any political statements. We're just here to share and explore and learn more about what other people are experiencing.
Warning, this episode contains themes that might be distressing to our listeners. We're talking about Ukraine and war and the conflict, so if that's upsetting to you, maybe just skip this one.
Today we're going to call in Soslan Bekoyev, a Ukrainian refugee, to share his story with us.
Okay, so first off, thanks so much for letting us talk to you today. So we were wondering, could you tell us a little about yourself and your family?
Okay, I'm from Ukraine. I'm living since in Ukraine, lived in from 1986.
Okay.
Was born in 1975, so kind of old already. And right now I'm staying with my family in Germany because the reason the war in my country. And so I'm working for company Kubiscan, working with him. Three kids, and I don't know. I love Utah.
How old are your kids?
Okay, my kids, oldest daughter, she's 21. Second daughter, she's 11. And my youngest son, he's 6 years old.
So some small ones too. Okay, well, for our podcast, we're focusing on a theme of boundaries. So we wanted to ask you, how would you define boundaries within the context of having to leave your country?
Oh, sorry, it wasn't boundaries. I don't understand. I don't know this word. Can you explain me?
So we actually have a dictionary definition right here. It's a real or imagined line that marks the edge or limit of something.
Whoa, so many new words. Not real, actually. Sorry. Can you text me right now this word, and I will translate through the Google Translate.
Yeah.
So maybe this will help. Can you do it right now? Okay, I got. Just a moment, please. Okay, boundaries. Okay, I understand this word. Boundaries of what?
We're just talking
like
about
borders.
Yes, like borders. Yes. So today we're kind of focusing on the boundaries between people and what happens when people cross those boundaries. So we wanted to kind of talk about what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, if you're willing to talk about.
Okay. Okay, I gotcha. Okay, let's do it.
Sure. So today we kind of wanted to hear about your story and experiences with the events that are currently happening in Ukraine. So if you're comfortable sharing, we wanted to go back to the beginning of the war. So when the attack first happened, how did the Ukrainian people respond?
First of all, we kind of worry about war was started, but many people not believe it in that. First of all, so no reason for war. And the second, Russia brought not many soldiers for war with Ukraine. And so when the war started, so many people trying to evacuate the kids and ladies and old people for the war zone. And it's make us like unity, you know. When it's, we have a problem, it's a problem always make people unity.
Yeah. So it was kind of like a surreal, it didn't feel real because you couldn't really see a reason for Russian, for the Russians coming over.
We can't believe that, but we believe when it's explosion, we hear and see the explosions near of us. Because I woke up because explosion was near my house, and my friends also woke up in other areas in my city because we heard the explosions. And we decided like immediately just take a car and drive.
Yeah, so it's just that, oh my goodness, sorry. So is that just how you guys responded, is you just immediately got out, got in the car and just went?
Yes. We grab just necessary stuff for our kids. We don't grab any clothes for us. No toothbrush, no just money, documents, and kids with like necessary stuff, and just drive.
So what was it like for your family right when the invasion started? How did your kids kind of react?
Well, my son, he not really will understand that. My daughter, she understand what goes on. But they trust the prince. They trust us because they know like we will take care about them. And when we came to the West Ukraine, they were scared about like any like loud sound. They were scared about like any airplanes. So it makes scare of them.
How long did you guys end up driving that first day?
We drive, how long you mean?
How long, like how far did you drive or how many hours right when you first left?
We was kind of fast. It was like 28 hours we drive.
28?
Wow, that's a long time.
28 hours, yes.
And did you just...
Well, but we was like, we made decision very, very fast to drive because the people who drive later of us, like for 3 or 4 hours, they drive like from two till 4 days.
Oh,
wow. That's insane.
So we was kind of lucky we spent like more than 1 day.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Did you guys just drive straight to Germany? So, like, how did you get there?
No. We drive, first of all, to the border. And the border was open that time. And when we came, the border guards, they said the border is closed for the men. So we can't cross the border. So women and kids, they can't cross, and men not. So, and our lady said, we don't will cross without you, we will cross only with you. So we decided to go to the more western Ukraine and rent apartment or hotel. So we find hotel and we stay there till we receive the documents that I can cross the border. So we stay there. Then the branch president of my branch, he was allowed crossing the border. He took my family in June to Germany, and I joined my family in August. Yes, I was apart. Well, I was actually apart because in April, I came back to my apartment, to my city, because in West Ukraine, we lived in a hotel. It was only one room, one bed for 4 of us. And so it was like hard time for everybody staying there. So I decided to come back home take like some stuff. So, and then from April, I stay there. In June, I come back to my family. And with my branch president across the border. And actually, I visit my family every like 2 weeks because I help the other people evacuating from the West Ukraine or from the east, from the East Ukraine to the West.
So you went east and your family stayed at a house in the West and then you visited them.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
So in those months that you were separated from your family, what were you doing in Ukraine?
I help people, refugees. We go to the war zone, pick up the people who need to evacuate and evacuate to the peace zone. And also we help people who was evacuated. We brought the food and other stuff.
Awesome.
So we're just helping. I was like a volunteer.
Okay, so you were kind of helping with the kind of like the humanitarian efforts during the war.
Yes. Yes, we found like members of the church, we just make a group, and the other members of the church in States, they donated money. So we buy minivans, a minibus, and with these minivans, we just evacuate the people from the war zone.
So you, along with members from your church, went and helped people get to a safer place?
Can it be a little bit loud?
Oh, so you were with members of your church, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So speaking of, you know, being with your church and kind of helping out in that humanitarian way, has the international response to the war surprised you in kind of like a humanitarian sense?
Yes, I will say like 90% of like humanitarian help aid we receive from USA, 90%.
So as far as international response, you were surprised about the United States response to the war. What about other countries?
Well, I was not surprised. It was, you know, it's. I will be surprised if USA not will help us, and I will be surprised if other countries will not help us. I think USA was like pushing all the countries, and also Poland. I understand what's going on because they was in this kind of situation many years ago. I think like most countries was USA, Poland, and Britain.
So you think that the United States response helped push other countries to help as well?
Yes. Oh yeah, of course.
Okay, gotcha. Going back to what we talked about, boundaries, what like borders and what boundaries, what lines have Russian forces crossed for you guys?
Well, they crossed from the three sides. They've crossed from the north, east, and south. They crossed near Kyiv, Kharkiv, Donetsk, and from Zaporozhye area.
Yeah, so they were kind of encroaching on all directions.
Yes.
So what has it been like more personally having your home and the things that you love kind of taken by the war? Yeah, so in a more personal way, rather than just geographical lines, what has it been like having the war kind of cross into your personal life and take some of the things that you love in your home?
Well, you know, you build your life, you had a normal life, kids attend the like dancing school. So, you know, just it's right now the war is just kind of crossing our lives. But I'm trying, thinking another way. I'm thinking that I have like opportunities right now. Yes, but it's still hard because now we're staying in Germany, in Europe, and we understand like how many good things we had in Ukraine, and it's how many like comfortable life we had before. So now we're trying to adapt new life to our lives, you know. I hope it's understandable for you.
Yeah.
So we still don't know how we'll go on. We don't know what situation, how situation will go on. And I spoke with my wife, so we don't plan nothing. We just do what we need to do right now.
Yeah, kind
you
of.
You know, it's sometimes like it's a joke. If you want to make God laughing, tell him about your plans.
All right. So compared to how your life was before the war started, how much has daily life changed in Ukraine and in your personal life?
Well, it's changed a lot. Like 360 degrees changed.
So what were some of those specific changes?
Specific changes? Well, you know, I had like my plans for future. So I had a house there. So we don't have house anymore right now. So it's still okay, but we can't live there. We had like a, how do you say, no connection with my, like we have connection with my friends, but we don't meet in anymore because everybody far away and in different countries. And so most of this is, you don't have like any connection with your friends and relatives.
So
it's kind of hard for me.
Yeah.
No, totally.
Because all of your friends and relatives weren't now scattered and far away, so it was hard to find that support?
Not only support, you know, just, for example, every like Saturday, we just take our kids and we go to our friends, make barbecue in the summertime. We had party together, so I go to the gym with my friends. We had like a team, and what else? My kids, they have also friends. They had friends in Ukraine, so they're missing them. So because now it's everything new, and the problem is a language problem right now in Germany. My kids not very well know German language, and sometimes you can feel the pain in school because the Germans sometimes the kids don't like German kids.
Hi, sorry. So kind of switching gears a little bit, we've heard that you had an encounter with a Russian spy. Do you think that you could tell us that story?
Ah, okay. So I'm waiting one of my friends in my city near bridge, and I saw in the back mirror one guy yelling with another guy. So I just came to him and asked him what's going on, and another guy, he said he has something in backpack. He tried measuring something, and we don't understand what he's doing. So ask him, show what he has, and he don't want to show us. And hello, are you there? Yeah. Okay, he don't want to show. So I just grabbed him. I put his face down, and I said, if you try run away, I will do. So when we opened the backpack, he has like some equipment, and one was like battery with something. We thought it's a bomb. So we just grab his hands, not let him move, and we call police. So and police come and pick up him.
I would have been so terrified. You are so brave.
Bravo, sometimes,
what were
stupid.
You thinking when you saw what was?
But you know, the police, they got him and kind of took care of him. So that's an insane thing to have happen, and that must have been terrifying.
Yeah, like what was your first thought when you like looked in the backpack?
Well. Well, my first thought, like, he's trying to put the bomb under the bridge, maybe. So, Russian spy working against the Ukraine. So.
So you guys think he was gonna blow up that bridge that you were on?
Well, he not will blow up, but he trying to do something bad, you know.
I think we should rename the bridge the Soslan Bridge.
No.
Okay, so you've mentioned a couple of times your faith and just how you guys have had to keep moving forward. Watching for us, and I'm sure for you, has been an emotionally and spiritually devastating event. So how have you been able to keep yourself emotionally healthy?
You know what? Well, first of all, just when you help other people, you're helping yourself.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the best solution, I will say. And, you know, well, plus prayers, I will say.
Yeah.
So would you say that kind of like your involvement in like your church and that community, that's kind of really been like a really like an anchor for you, would you say? Kind of helping you to cope with everything that's happening?
Yes, and plus we saw the results of Ukraine army, how they was strong, you know, and we saw how people try to help each other. It's make you also staying strong.
Absolutely.
So when a country like Russia violates the boundaries of another country, like Ukraine, what message does it send to the rest of the world?
Well, first of all, Russian politics is like evils, first of all. It's show right now who is your friend, who is not your friend. And it's mean like hard to explain.
You mentioned earlier that how Ukraine's been doing and coming together has helped keep your guys' spirits up. A lot of people thought that Ukraine would probably fall within like a month, but now it's been over a year. So what's been able to keep Ukraine fighting for so long?
Well, first of all, that's about freedom. We don't want to be under the Russia. And it doesn't matter, it will be a month or 2 months or 3 months. And we will fight to the end. It doesn't matter. We will fight like on front line. We will fight. It's when we're helping other people. It's, you know, it's still fighting against the Russia. Even now, I'm just right now in Germany. I'm trying to the volunteer. So I asking my friends who is on frontline what they needed. So they asking me, so I need like backpacks, I need like some like coats, socks, boots, winter boots. So I'm asking all the people who can donate money. So people that donate can buy it and send it to them.
So even being away from it, you're still trying to help out in ways that you can?
Yes. Well, I can't stay like do nothing. It doesn't matter where well I stay. And even like the members in the USA, they're donating and they're helping people in Ukraine right now. Hello?
So you've mentioned ways that you are able to help. Are there things that we could do over here or that other people can do that aren't close to the situation to help out?
Hello. Yes, sorry. Wasn't coming call, sorry.
So what is something that we can do from the outside to help support Ukraine?
Well, it's a question how you want to want support. Because supporting can be different ways. Supporting can be material and not material.
So what are some of the ways that you continue.
You can make something, you can buy something, or you can just posting information about the real situation in Ukraine. So all the things will help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just being involved.
Still some people, like for example in Europe, they don't believe what's going on in Ukraine.
Yeah, so you'd say that people just need the support from other people at the very least. Like, if you can't do anything else, at least just, like, kind of spread the word and just give your support to those in Ukraine.
Yes.
I know a little while back on the anniversary of the invasion, Utah actually had a group of Ukrainian Americans come and kind of protest on the Capitol steps, kind of just to like increase awareness. And I think they were able to raise some money. So I think, you know, people here are still very much aware of the situation and just trying to continue to spread awareness, because while it's been over a year, it's still happening and devastating things are still happening.
Yeah, well, who knows how long it will take,
Right, exactly.
Are there any needs now that people have that are different from when the war first started?
Right now I'm trying to help my friends who in a war zone who is fighting.
Yeah.
So, I can ask them.
Okay.
Most of the things I closed. I just closed out the quest like a month ago of all needs of my friends who are online.
So you're saying that kind of the work that you're doing now is kind of like attending to the needs of your friend on the front line. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, we're trying to figure out what questions we have left.
Do you think Russia being charged with international crimes has changed citizens' view of the war, like across the world?
Do you think that Russia being charged with international crimes has changed kind of citizens or people around the world's view of the war?
Yes, they do.
In what way do you think it's changed?
You mean the view of Russia or view of who?
Technically, the view of Russia and kind of like their thoughts on the war and the invasion.
First of all, the Russia show there, like the army of Russia is very weak, not powerful.
No, that's understandable. We're going to shift gears a little bit. So, kind of going back to Ukraine, what is your favorite part about, like, living in Ukraine? You know, the culture or the food? What is the kind of the things that you miss most?
Well, I missed, first of all, relationship with my friend. Food, of course, is better than in Germany, a lot better. And many things I miss there. Something. Just a second. Food, friend, and medicine, for example.
Oh, the medicine?
Yes, because, for example, like dentist, it's much, much better and much cheaper in Ukraine than in Europe. And so other things what you can do, like, for example, in Ukraine, like for one day, in Germany, it takes months.
Oh, interesting. Kind of the, like, the jumping through all the hoops, kind of, so to speak. There are a lot more steps.
Yes, yes. And Germany is a very bureaucratic country. I feel more comfortable, like, in Utah than in Germany because of people. Because German people, like, they without any emotions, you know, on face, they're just frozen. And it's make kind of hard for everybody who's from Ukraine.
Oh, so just like cultural differences between people.
Yes, yes.
Has it made it more difficult just to kind of integrate into their culture and kind of those differences?
And be honest, I don't want to integrate in the German culture at all.
Understandable.
It's not me, it's not what I want to be.
So you're trying to come to the United States, correct?
Yes, we tried, but something doesn't work very well. And I spoke with my wife, and we thought, well, probably it's not our time yet to be there. Maybe we'll be a little later. So maybe God has something other plans for us. So we didn't know.
How do you think that living in the United States would be different from living in Germany?
This will be much better. First of all, like people. Because, you know, I like when people, like, even like when I was first time in States, I come back to Ukraine from States, and I had, like, depression. Because, you know, in States, people are very friendly, very open, and they're smiling, they're asking, like, how are you? Maybe they don't care about how are you, but they're asking, how are you, you know? And so I like the relationship in States, like, better than in the other countries.
How much German do you speak? Has there been, like, a language barrier there?
Yes, it's a big barrier because most of the Germans in that part of where I'm living, It's that part was before over the Soviet Union, and people there, like some old people, they know like more English, Russian words than English. They don't know English at all. And young people, they not very well speaks in English too, because for example, in Ukraine, kids start speaks in English. They start study English from the first grade. And in Germany, they start learning English from the fourth grade.
So that's kind of been your common language there. Everybody kind of speaks English.
Yes. Well, not many people speak English there.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being able to talk with us today. We really appreciate it.
I hope I give you like some information. It will help you.
Perfect. Yeah. Do you have anything that you would like to say to kind of our listeners? Is kind of like any last words do you have?
Well, thank you very much for your support, for your prayers, because I think without you, it will be worse for us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll continue to kind of spread the word over here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so
great
much.
Great talking to you. Bye.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now that we've finished talking about our main episode, we're going to jump into our
Boundary Breakthroughs.
In this recurring segment, we'll take a look at a notable boundary in history, science, general society, or any other significant advancement. Our boundary breakthrough for this week focuses on Ukrainian women who offered sunflower seeds to Russian soldiers. While this seems a bit innocuous, it takes a bit of a darker tone in context. This story, it starts in February of 2022, so fairly close to the beginning of the war, in the city of Henichayska. During the invasion, Russian armed soldiers were walking through the streets when a woman walked up to them and asked who they were. They answered that they were Russians and have exercises in the area. Boldly, she calls them occupants and fascists, amongst other profanities, asking what they're doing on Ukrainian land with all those guns. After a bit of back and forth, she offers the soldiers sunflower seeds, saying, "Take these seeds so sunflowers grow when you die here." Saying that to an armed guard takes guts and has sparked emotional reactions. It becomes more meaningful knowing that the sunflowers are actually the national flower of Ukraine and represent peace. Though the war is ongoing, brave Ukrainians like this woman who have remained anonymous despite viral videos to keep pushing for an end in peace. Yeah. If you want to watch the video of the confrontation or learn more about the sunflowers as a symbol, you can find some links in our show notes. Thanks for tuning in. As always, follow our Instagram and TikTok at Weber_podcast so you never miss an update. Join us next time when we'll be wrapping up the season with exclusive behind-the-scenes information. See you next Friday, April 28th, for our final episode of the season.
Bye! Bye.